Okay. I think that's good. Can y'all hear me okay? Leave it alone? Okay. All right. Well, thank y'all so much for coming back out tonight. And happy Father's Day to all our men here tonight. Hope y'all have had a great day. Well, I just wanted to start by saying that, the way I grew up in a godly home, and I grew up with a dad who was a high school football coach. And because of that, we were at the ball field a lot. So that was just kind of part of our life. And I loved it. And because of that, I always had a desire to play sports and, you know, get involved with things like that. And I grew up elementary, middle school, and high school playing just about anything. Basketball, I ran track, gymnastics, just anything you can think of I wanted to participate in. Anything to stay active. Well, up through high school, you know, when you are in high school, Faith, you know this, you have organized sports and you have somebody telling you when to be somewhere at a certain time, and if you don't get there, there's a consequence. So all through high school, I had somebody telling me what I needed to do, where I needed to be at a certain time. Well, then when I got to college, I didn't have anybody telling me that anymore. So I realized that either I was going to take some real personal responsibility or it was going to really not be good. You've heard of the Freshman 15? Yeah. Well, I think it is. I think it's a girl thing, the Freshman 15. So anyway, I found out real quick that I was going to have to do something to keep in shape better than I had been my freshman year. And, you know, I got to thinking about this, and, you know, God took 6 days to create, and he rested one day. And I think a lot of the body today, we want to rest 6 days and move one day. And we can't do things apart from the way God established it and still see the results that we need to see and benefit ourselves, right? Listen to this and see if anybody else can relate to this. I read this one day last week. It says, I live in a crucible between impressive success and miserable failure when it comes to personal discipline. Anybody else there? I'll admit it. I am. There are days when I feel like I'm just plugging along and I'm obedient, doing what the Lord tells me to do, and then I just fall right off the wagon. You know what I mean? So I think the biggest thing we can do to really help ourselves here is develop some really good habits. And let me read to you how Noah Webster defines a habit. It's a disposition of the mind or the body acquired by custom or a frequent repetition of the same act. Habit is that which is held or retained, the effect of custom or frequent repetition. Hence we speak of good and bad habits. And I think, you know, we can start by looking at all this stuff out here, but I think the most important place to start is looking at our relationship with God. We have to make that the foundation, because to me, when you develop that, you lay a good groundwork for cultivating every other habit that you will ever cultivate. So Matthew 6:33 in the Amplified reads like this. But seek, aim at. You know, when you're aimed at something, you have got like hawkeye vision. You are fixated on that thing, and you're just absolute. You've got your face set like flint. I found a snake in our yard a couple of weeks ago, and I almost stepped on it. And I don't do snakes. So I thought, what am I going to do? Trey and Levi, every time we've ever found one, they've been away from the house. So I loaded up Levi's Red Ryder BB gun. Go right back upstairs, fly back upstairs. And we have a lot of monkey grass in our yard, so the snake had slithered into the monkey grass. And I'm hanging off our deck, like this is the railing of the deck. I'm hanging off the deck with my Red Ryder BB gun. I mean, I felt like John Wayne. I looked like Elmer Fudd, but I felt like John Wayne. I mean, I was aimed at that snake, and I meant if he came out, I was hitting it. He was gone. And then I realized it was a king snake, and I thought, oh, no. But I was aimed. That was my point. I did not let that thing out of my sight. It says, but seek, aim at, and strive after, first of all, His kingdom and His righteousness, His way of doing and being right, and then all these things taken together will be given you besides. You know, God's so good, and He desires to see His plan and purpose come to pass in our life all the time. I heard Joyce Meyer say this one time. She said, when you know in your heart that God has a plan for you and wants you to be His agent of change in the world around you, all of a sudden the motivation to do the right thing comes from the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Have you ever noticed that? When you really get serious with God and He knows you're real and you are going to make a change, He'll give you the grace and He'll strengthen you and empower you to make that change. And you know, if you're out here tonight and you're saying, you know, there's so much that I have not done in my physical body, or, you know, so much I've not taken personal responsibility for, there is no condemnation in that whatsoever. None. Because God's mercies are new every single morning, and His compassion never fails, and His faithfulness is great every single day. So do not get discouraged, because, you know, He's the God of the second chance and the third and the fourth and the 50th. He always is willing to work with us. And, you know, in James, the word says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. There's nothing between the draw near and I will. You just draw near to Him and He will draw near to you, and He'll show you how to walk out of the thing that you've been struggling with. Amen. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says this, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives within you, whom you have received as a gift from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price, purchased with a preciousness and paid for, made His own. So then honor God and bring glory to Him in your body. With that being said, I'd like to share a personal testimony. I'm sure most of you have heard our testimony from our time in Colorado, how we quickly met, got engaged, got married, moved across the country, and had Levi, in a really short period of time. Well, we were so busy during that season of our life that, you know, exercise and good eating habits, seem to be the first thing that goes when you're in a season where you're very busy. And I'm here to say that if it was not caffeinated, frozen, or full of sugar, it was not in our apartment. I mean, we were eating just on the run all the time. And I can speak from personal experience that existence is not the life that Jesus came to give us. John 10:10 in the Amplified reads like this, I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance, to the full till it overflows. You know, God didn't do things halfway. Or God didn't give us His all so we could do things halfway. He did nothing halfway with us. And we have to learn how to surrender to Him daily and just get to that place where we are loving Him with all our being, loving Him with all our hearts. And I do believe that a lot of that comes from seeing ourselves the way He sees us, as our loving Heavenly Father sees us. I saw a friend of mine not too long ago, and she had really, it was kind of sad, but she came from a background where she had an older sister, and the older sister was tall and thin and really beautiful, and this friend of mine was, you know, needed to lose weight, and she just always felt condemned about that because her mom and dad kind of made her feel like that. They always compared her to her sister and things like that. Well, within the last few years, I saw her, and she had lost a person. I mean, she had lost a tremendous amount of weight. And I asked her, I said, how did you do this? I said, did you focus more on the fitness aspect of it or nutrition? She said, I changed the image on the inside of me. Amen. She said, I didn't focus really on either one. She said, I changed the way I saw myself. It didn't matter to me how others saw me. I just started seeing myself the way God looked at me. And when she started doing that, she said, I spent a lot of time in the Word. And she changed that by communing with the Lord, by her personal relationship with the Lord. And our spirit man, that's where we have to focus on first before we ever get to the body. Because if we don't change that image on the inside of us, see, this is, to me, this is one of my life verses. It's Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not to men. So we're not doing what we do for anybody else. We're doing it as unto Him. And that, to me, makes it a lot easier when He asks you to do something, to just simply know that when He loves you that much, we can certainly get to a place where if we're loving Him with our whole hearts, we can lay down the things He asks us to lay down. Fortunately, Trey and I no longer have those bad habits in place. We've replaced them with healthy eating and exercise. We don't always do that, but we do it more times than not. But this is not legalism I'm talking about. This is not something you have to watch everything that goes in your mouth. Everything's been sanctified by the word and prayer, okay? But just when you start seeing yourself the way God sees you and you are a temple of the Holy Spirit, we should veer more towards, hey, yeah, I want to take care of the one body that I've been given, because, you know, it's kind of like this. You know, we've been talking about financial stewardship over the last few weeks. And, you know, the Bible says more about money than any other topic in the New Testament. And it's called the least of these. Well, if God expects us to be good stewards of our finances, how much more does He expect us to be good stewards of the one body we're going to have on this earth to glorify Him? Well, Hebrews, y'all go to Hebrews chapter 12, please. Verses 1 and 2. It reads like this. Therefore then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight, and that sin which so readily, deftly, and cleverly clings to and entangles us. And let us run with patient endurance and steady and active persistence the appointed course of the race that is set before us, looking away from all that will distract to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith, giving the first incentive for our belief and is also its finisher, bringing it to maturity and perfection. He, for obtaining the prize that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, I look at this and, you know, what we're doing is we're not in a sprint. We're running a marathon. Slowly but surely, we're getting there. And I just want to go off on a rabbit trail for just a minute. I just read an article last week on this guy who was 50-something years old and had, I think he was in the process of running his fourth or fifth marathon. Y'all, a marathon's 26.2 miles, okay? I don't know about y'all. 26.2 miles, running that never happened when I could get behind the wheel of an air-conditioned car and drive it. You know what I'm saying? I'm just not the torture and abuse that you would have to put your body through. Not for me. But he died of a heart attack running this marathon. And the point I want to get across is we have a race to run, but we have to do it. We have to do things in moderation. We don't have to abuse and torture our bodies. I mean, if you run a marathon, we'll be the first ones at the finish line cheering you on. Don't let me discourage you from running one. But I personally, this is not what the Lord is talking about. He's implying this spiritually, but from a physical standpoint, you don't have to absolutely brutally abuse your body. Okay, here's the point I really want to get at. Time is short. And we have a race to run. I believe that Jesus is coming back so soon. And we have to take care of the temples that God has given us and run our race in a way that's going to glorify Him. And so we can live long on the earth and finish our course. Let me just go off on another rabbit trail here, but I want to give y'all a personal testimony of how I let something become an idol to me years ago. And some of you have heard me talk about this, but before Levi was born, I never entertained the thought of having a cup of coffee, ever. I mean, it just wasn't on my radar. I never desired it. Well, after he was born, I lost a lot of sleep and just felt like I needed a little boost in the morning. So I picked up coffee. And my coffee was not black coffee. My coffee was like a milkshake. I mean, like cream and sugar and sweetener and everything, you know, I could put in there. Well, a few weeks after I started drinking it, I heard the Holy Spirit one morning in my kitchen in Colorado say, "I want you to lay down coffee." I'm thinking, God loves me too much. He would never ask me to do that. I start rebuking the devil. I'm like, there's no way he would ask me to lay down coffee. So I didn't lay it down. I disobeyed. And over the next few years, I didn't drink it every day. But on and off, I would drink it. And within the next couple years, I started developing this rash on the base of my skull, the upper part of my neck, and on my torso. It never was on my arms and legs. But long story short, I went to a doctor here in town, and it was systemic yeast that had spread throughout my whole body. It is very dangerous. I mean, it can cause your organs to shut down. So this man told me that I was going to have to cut out sugar for 8 weeks. For 2 months, I was going to have to cut out all sugar. That's not simple refined sugars only. That's carbs, anything that turns to sugar in your body. So I laid that down for 8 weeks. And he told me after 8 weeks, I could start incorporating some more things, you know, back into my diet. So at the end of 8 weeks, I went for an assessment, and I asked him, you know, what can I start eating again? He said, well, what do you want to eat? I thought, food? I've lived off like 2 spinach leaves in the head of a small ant for the last 8 weeks. I mean, literally, I was starving. But I learned that what I did was I opened the door. And this is the part of personal responsibility that I'm talking about. I did not listen to the Lord because I did not want to lay that thing down. It was really a heart issue. I never wanted to give it up because what I was thinking was, how can I go through the day with 3 hours of sleep a night without caffeine? That was my thought. And, you know, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct and make straight and plain your paths. And I was leaning on my own understanding. I was trusting only what I could figure out in my head, and I wasn't trusting in Him with all my heart. And it led me into a place where disobedience really opened the door for me to have a health issue. So let me read this to you. And let me say this too. God only asks us to lay down things for our benefit. He's never going to ask us to lay down anything that's not going to be beneficial to us. And sometimes we don't even have to have God tell us to lay something down. Sometimes we can just really learn to key into our bodies. Like, for instance, coffee for me, or caffeine sometimes. I can drink even a little bit of it. It can make my knee joints ache. You know, things like that. So we don't even necessarily have to have God to tell us to lay something down. We just have to really sometimes be keyed in and listening to our bodies and learn to be in sync with, first of all, obeying God, and then listening to any kind of signal that you're getting from your body, something like that. I don't know if y'all have heard of Gary Thomas, but he's a Christian author, and he says this, and it's so good. The goal in the pursuit of taking care of our temples is not sculpting thinner or more athletic looking bodies. The goal is to cultivate stronger, well-nourished bodies that are primed to become, in the words of the Apostle Paul, and this is 2 Timothy 2:21, instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. That, first of all, pursuing your relationship with God and getting plugged in, walking with Him. Secondly, that right there could be the foundation of why we want to take care of our temples, okay? And by looking at your body as an instrument rather than an ornament, you'll find new and compelling motivation to embrace the kind of active lifestyle that fortifies your soul. You know, anything I need more than Jesus is nothing more than pure idolatry. If I need Jesus plus anything, that thing has become an idol in my life. And you know, Jesus made a habit of spending time with His Father. And we need to look to Him, and if it's what He did, we certainly need to be doing that. You know, when I was single, I used to look so forward to the weekends because I would get off work and go straight home and get in the Word, and I would stay there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday listening to tapes, reading, meditating. I just wanted to devour this book. And after I got married and had Levi, I realized that I couldn't just sit for 8 hours anymore and do that. But, you know, sometimes I think that we get to a place, like in one season of our life, where we really enjoy doing the things with the Lord and spending excess amount of time with Him, that when we transition to another season and we can't do things the way we once did them, we cease from doing them at all. But a lot of times it's not that we need to quit anything altogether. It's just we need to get creative and find better ways to do those things. For example, I can't sit all day and get in the Word, but I can go for a walk and praise the Lord or pray in the Spirit or just simply talk to Him. And while I'm walking, I'm edifying my body while I'm edifying my spirit. Does that make sense? Walking is the simplest form of exercise you can do. It's easy. All you have to do is find a safe road, a safe place to go, and a comfortable pair of walking shoes. Some of the benefits of walking: it fends off heart attacks and strokes, reduces your chances of diabetes, slims you down, keeps you sharp mentally, reduces stress, boosts your immune system, and praying in tongues also boosts your immune system 40%. So if you're walking and praying in tongues, your immune system should be way up there, and keeps you going. It has the highest compliance rate of any exercise. Your body only has the ability to love what you let it get used to. See, I was letting my body get used to coffee. And I didn't tell y'all this, but I need to go back to that story, because I realized after a number of years that I was addicted and I could not quit myself. I could not do it. I tried and my flesh was just, I couldn't do it. It was just kind of taking me over, I felt like. So I sat down at our kitchen table one day and I said, "Lord, I just want you to take the desire for this stuff away from me." I woke up the next morning, did not drink a cup of coffee, didn't even desire it, and almost to the point where it repulses me now if I even not smell it, but I can't, it's gone. The desire is gone, because I got to a place where I was so sick and tired of being sick and tired. You know, out of desperation, you cry out to God. You don't want to get to the place where you're desperate to cry out to God. But my point is, He's still merciful beyond our comprehension, and He will meet you right where you are. And if you're serious about making a health change, He'll meet you there. So let's talk about, that's our spirit and nurturing our spirit, man. Let's talk about our soul, our mind, will, and emotions, and go to our thought life for a little while. If you choose to do the right thing, you know your feelings line up with that. If you'll just choose to do the right thing, your feelings fall in line. Philippians 4:8 tells us what we are to think about. Whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence and is honorable and seemly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there is any virtue and excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on and weigh and take account of these things. Fix your minds on them. When I am nurturing my spirit and focus on who I am, who God has said I am, it's like my thought life is easier to rein in. Does that make sense? Because when you're spending time with the Lord, your thoughts are in line with His thoughts and His plan for your life. You know, we don't ever watch the news. And people will ask, you know, "Well, how do you know what's going on?" I'm like, "Well, I don't. How do you not know what's going on? I mean, social media is all over social media. It's all over, Facebook. But here's the thing. You know, you can't mix fear and faith. Mixture just doesn't work in the kingdom of God. And I don't need a television to tell me we're living in perilous times, okay? The Word of God has told us exactly how things are going to pan out in the last of days, and it's happening just like He said it would. I mean, there's no surprises, you know? We don't have to turn on the TV to tell us what's going to happen, you know, from this time to when Jesus comes. I'm not going to go there. We can't mix faith and fear, because we have to be keyed in to what the Word of God says to build our faith up, because if we're listening to that, then it's just going to cause unbelief and anxiety and worry and doubt and fear to come. So, y'all go with me to Romans 12:2. Excuse me. I mean to cough right in the microphone. Romans 12:2 reads like this: "We, however, are to not be conformed to this world or this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs, but be transformed and changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you." We are transformed in our minds and renewed in our minds to the degree that we stay in the Word of God. Proverbs 23:7 says, "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." The way that you think is the way your life's going to go. So we need to be thinking on His grace and His goodness and His mercy and His love for you, the beloved. You are the beloved. And I don't know if y'all have ever heard of a minister named Graham Cook. I've only listened to him a couple of times. But this is something he said that I just felt like was worth repeating. He says, "The Lord says there is nothing you can do that would make Him love you more. And there's also nothing you can do to make Him love you less. He loves you because He loves you because He loves you because He loves you. Because that's what He's like and that's who He is. It's His nature to love, and you will always be the beloved. I love you as you are, so be loved. You are the beloved. It is your job, says the Lord, to be loved outrageously. It's why I chose you. That is why I set my love upon you, that you would live as one who's outrageously loved, that you would receive a radical love, so radical that it will blow all your paradigms of what you think love is. And know this, says the Lord, I will love you outrageously all the days of your life because I don't know how to be any different. This is who I am, and this is who I will always be. This is the I am I promised you. I am He that loves you outrageously." We need to focus on that. We need to focus on how much God loves us. 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, the love chapter. I don't know if y'all ever read it in the Amplified. If not, I would encourage you to do so. I used to read that and think, how can I love like that? And then I realized the focus was on me. You know, when I'm focused on Jesus, that just kind of happens. You know, when we get the focus off ourselves and just spend time with the Lord. Perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love is not a doctrine or a theology. It's a person, and His name is Jesus. We have nothing to fear with the Lord. Amen? He is good all the time, and He only wants our best. So, I want to read y'all this scripture in Joshua 24:15, and it says, "Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You know what I hear in that scripture? It says, "Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve." See, we have to make a choice every day. We can choose to serve the Lord today, but if we're not lined up and submitted to Him and His plan for our life, tomorrow we could choose to serve the flesh. We have to choose this day. Every day we have to make a conscious decision. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows all the issues of life." That's what we have to focus so much on, because we're supposed to be loving the Lord our God with all our heart. So it would behoove us to guard the thing we're to be loving Him with all of. Okay? So that's a little bit on the soul, and I could go into more detail, but for time's sake, I unfortunately cannot. So we're going to move on now to the body. We're going to talk about nutrition for just a little bit. Have y'all ever heard the motto, "Eat to live" or "Live to eat"? 3 John 2 says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in every way, and that your body may keep well, even as I know your soul keeps well and prospers." Walking in the Word brings health. And you know, if I have any respect for Jesus, I have to respect the temple that His Spirit is housed in. Listen to this fact taken from a well-known physician. The average American consumes 3,700 calories per day. The body can only burn 2,000 a day. That's a lot. That's a lot of extra. We're feeding our bodies and just not being able, our bodies cannot assimilate that much food. So these are just some tips and some good wisdom in daily habits that I'm going to give y'all. I've got about 5 or 6 of them here. The first one is practice temperance. If God tells us to lay it down immediately. And when you're full, put your fork down and just push away from the table. That is just a good common sense thing to practice. I've had to practice that. I have to remind myself of that daily, to be honest with you, because, you know, that's not always an easy thing to do. It's not easy at all. So practice temperance, practice moderation and balance. Number two, become active. You know, if you have not started an exercise program, or if you have a medical condition, please get clearance from your doctor first before you ever do anything. And particularly now at this time of year in the Deep South, unless you go out walking in the early morning or the late evening, it's really dangerous to go in the heat of the day. But once you start, you can, even if you start for 10 or 15 minutes at a time, just start. Just do something to get moving and get active. I have a statistic here that says 25% of Americans do not exercise at all. The average American watches 30 hours of TV per week. Y'all, that's almost like a full work week. You know, and this is not Christian programming. This is the kind that will feed your mind with doubt and fear and unbelief. And there's no faith at all in what you're hearing from most programs on TV. So, and I'll tell you another thing. This will help save so much time. If you are watching TV, this is an easy way to get more hours in your day. To just cut back the TV watching. Have you ever done an inventory on how you spend your time? It's kind of like your checkbook, how you spend your money. Do an inventory on how you spend your time, and you can find out what you're spending the majority of your time on and take it before the Lord and see what He would have you do on cutting back or cutting out things that will free up more time to pursue the things that are going to actually benefit you in your body. Eat breakfast every day. People who wait an hour and a half after waking up to eat breakfast increase the risk of becoming obese by 50%. Because if you skip breakfast, it messes with your metabolic rate and the rate that your body burns calories. So when you do feed it, it holds on to that because your body feels like it's starving. Four, watch portion sizes and tame your environment. This basically means getting stuff and junk out of your house that you know you can't resist. You know, if it's a temptation for you, don't even bring it in the house. There's things that I can't even bring in the house now because I know if it's there, it's a temptation. So just get the temptation out of the way. Number five, become accountable. You know, if you want to start walking or start a walking program, find somebody that will go with you. It makes it a lot more fun, and you're a lot more likely to stick with it. And number six, make a commitment. God told Joshua, meditate the word day and night. Then we can see into it and how to observe what God's commanded. Meditating God's word prepares me for victory in my life. Every single time. You know, everything begins and ends with the Lord Jesus Christ. And with Him, all things are possible. And I just believe that when we get serious with the Lord and we, you know, so many times we don't take the time to hear what the Lord is saying to us. You know, just like the thing with coffee, the problem I had, the Lord was speaking so clearly to me. And He was trying to prevent doctor bills. He was trying to prevent time being stolen from me, my health being stolen from me, and I just was hard-headed and just tried to lean on my own understanding, and it didn't get me anywhere. So really, I would encourage you to just commune with the Holy Spirit and ask Him if there's anything in your life that is not beneficial to you or that He wants you to lay down that would more glorify Him in your temples. Let's go to one last scripture before we close. It's 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. I know this message really just doesn't give you a warm fuzzy, but I think so many times it will, and so many times I think we steer away from talking about things because it doesn't give us a warm fuzzy, and we have to talk about the truth in order to, you know, we got to put feet to our faith. So 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run your race that you may lay hold of the prize and make it yours. Now every athlete who goes into training conducts himself temperately and restricts himself in all things. They do it to win a wreath that will soon wither, but we do it to receive a crown of eternal blessedness that cannot wither. Therefore, I do not run uncertainly without definite aim. I do not box like one beating the air and striking without an adversary. But like a boxer, I buffet my body, handle it roughly, discipline it by hardships, and subdue it, for fear that after proclaiming to others the gospel and things pertaining to it, I myself should become unfit, not stand the test, be unapproved, and rejected as a counterfeit. You know, I don't think God inspired Paul to write that just so we could hold him up as this high, unattainable ideal. I think he inspired him to write it so we can adopt that attitude for ourselves. And, you know, I have to say this, and it doesn't sound good, but when we as believers do not take our health seriously, it's almost like we're not taking our mission seriously. Because God has a plan, and he has a purpose for our life. We can't finish our course if we don't take this word seriously. Does that make sense? So, in conclusion, to wrap up, make time every day to spend with the Lord. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you into all truth, for the Lord to make straight and plain your paths before you. Get fear out of your life at all costs, whatever you have to do, if you have to turn off the TV, if you have to get away from all social media, whatever it takes. Perfect love cast out fear. Get close to Jesus and he will cast the fear. That will just be driven and expelled out of your life. And use just good wisdom. You know, I like to say wisdom is really just common sense. Just use good wisdom and get before the author of wisdom himself. God loves you so much. He created you for a plan and a purpose so great that I don't think our minds can wrap themselves around it sometimes. I really don't. But I think we have to take our mission seriously. And in order to do that, we have to really lay down some things. And how do I want to say this? Just really say no to our flesh. It's the easiest way I can put it. I love y'all. And I hope this hasn't come across as hard in any way, but I hope you hear it in the spirit of love, which I meant for it to come across. Because really, it's just what I'm saying is God really wants your best, and so do I. So get before the Lord and find out his plan and purpose for your life, and then go there. Amen. I love y'all. Thank you.